I've been having a really good week here. This past Sunday, I ministered near Atlanta, a new place for the first time, Kennesaw, Georgia, and enjoyed that. Then we came in Monday, and Wesley and Harry have been helping me shoot videos, and we've been meeting with folks, and I had a good time doing that. They've been a big help to me, and been meeting with people, and just planning, and getting to spend time with friends. And I'm glad to be with you here tonight. Amen. Now, since last time I was with you, I have been not just to Good News Augusta, but I have now been to Good News Aurora. Amen. And, yeah, had a good time out there. And we were out there during your anniversary. Happy anniversary, Good News Church, by the way. Amen. 20 years. Praise God. Best is yet to come. We look back. Thank God for everything he's done. It encourages us to look forward, right? You look back at God's faithfulness, what he's done, how far he's brought you. And we could all say, if he's got us here, he could get us all the way. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, it's interesting. I actually preached my first sermon ever that same month that, or you guys launched in October or November of 95. November. So the month before, October 14th, I preached my first message ever. And so I'm looking at about 20 years in ministry too. Praise God. Amen. So, hallelujah. And so I didn't really realize that until I was watching your big shindig here and I started doing some math and I was like, wait a second, you know, that's a significant date for me too. Amen. Praise God. How many believe Jesus is alive tonight? Yeah, the place looks beautiful, getting ready for Christmas. I want to encourage you all that, invite somebody. Pastor Matt mentioned it, but invite somebody to these services. There's probably people that would be quicker to attend Christmas services than maybe any other time during the year. Isn't that right? And you've got the special programs. You got the music going on. Don't waste the opportunity. Use it as an opportunity to invite somebody, to ask somebody to come. Hey, we're having Christmas services. Hey, we're having special music services. Reach out to somebody during this season. Pray for them. Amen. Believe God to draw them. How many believe in the drawing power of Jesus to draw them to unto him? And put action to your faith and invite somebody. You'd be surprised. It's a great time of year to invite people. Praise God. Amen. Shouldn't be an empty seat in the house this Sunday. It's Christmas. Bring some people. Amen. Fill them up. Praise God. I want to talk to you tonight. Man, I think there's so much I want to tell you, catching up and stuff, but I always, you know, got the message burning in my heart and want to get into the word. So I might give you updates throughout the message as I remember them. Amen. If you will, turn to Matthew chapter 17, and we're going to start in verse 14. Matthew 17, verse 14. And as you're turning, everybody say, I'm a believer. I believe. Verse 14 says in Matthew 17, when they came to the crowd, a man came up to Jesus, falling on his knees before him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and is very ill, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, you unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked him, and the demon came out of him, and the boy was cured at once. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not drive it out? And he said to them, because of the littleness of your faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Praise God. Like we sang in the song, nothing will be impossible to you. How many think that's encouraging to have nothing impossible? Praise God. Bible says you could have nothing impossible to you by faith, that if you believe that nothing could be impossible to you. That's encouraging, thank God, because that's something that we could do. You're a believer, believers believe. Fish swim, amen, birds fly, believers believe, praise God. So you can do what the world says is impossible by believing God, amen, and putting your trust in him. So I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about faith, about believing God. I don't think you could ever hear that enough. Do you ever get bored of hearing about faith? You shouldn't. I don't. If anybody realizes that the just live by faith, if you've ever believed God and seen him come through for you, then faith is exciting to you. Amen. Faith is exciting to me, man. I love to hear people preach it. I love to hear testimonies of faith. I love to hear when people say, I believe God and this is what happened. I know when Grace and God got his car. We were all encouraged. And there's another guy, some of you remember him, Danny, who works with us and he does all my videos. He was encouraged by Grayson's car story. He started to believe God and he had a car given to him as well. Amen. I loved it. And that's how it should be, right? That we encourage each other, that we build each other up in faith. You know, that's a big function of church. How many are glad you go to a faith church? A lot of people ask me on the road, what kind of church should I go to? And there's a few different things I tell them. But one thing I tell them is you want to go to a church where they believe God, where they practice faith. And, you know, some people, they'll get saved or they'll get filled with the Holy Ghost. And then they'll be in a certain maybe denomination that doesn't believe in healing, that doesn't believe in faith or something like that. And they'll say, I'm going to stay back. And I believe God wants me to stay in this church to change people. I don't believe that's God's plan to stay in a church because God didn't design a church to be your mission field. Amen. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of believers. You're supposed to assemble with people that believe so you can encourage each other, so you can have it build each other up, so you can, as iron sharpens iron, be surrounded with people that encourage you. Does this make sense? Amen. How many of you want to be around believers, praise God? People that believe like you do. I don't think that, you know, that if God wants you to reach out to people in another church in some place, that's great. You reach out to him, but that does not replace. You need to be with a body of believers who are building you up and encouraging you. Amen. Good place like this, like Good News Church, praise God. But you see here, faith, nothing's impossible for those who believe. You can move mountains by faith, like we heard in the offering message just a few minutes ago. Mountains could move by faith. Nothing is impossible for those who believe, no matter how big the problem is. But I wanted to read that particular account tonight because Jesus said that if you have faith like a mustard seed, you could move a mountain. In other words, there's a comparison going on there, that you see that there is a context that Jesus is putting the subject of faith in. He's saying very tiny, small faith, mustard seed faith, a Sunday school classic. Amen. How many have been in a Sunday school class where they passed out mustard seeds before, right? A Sunday school classic, the mustard seed faith. And then we were talking about mountains. If you have mustard seed faith, you could move a mountain, praise God. No matter how big the problem is, you could move it with faith. Now, this is something that I've felt before, and maybe you have too, that sometimes it seems like if we're facing a big problem or if we're in a big situation, sometimes it seems like we feel or you can get the impression that, man, I need to have really big faith because this is a really big problem. Have you ever felt like that? And Jesus is saying it's not about the size of the faith. You could have mustard seed faith and it will move mountains. It'll move anything. Amen. It's not about the size of your believing. Believing is believing. Amen. If you believe, it's just like believing is just opening up a door. Amen. Believing is simply opening up a door for God to do what he wants to do. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If we open the door, Jesus comes in. Isn't that right? And all faith is opening the door. Everybody say, faith is opening the door. And you know, you can have a garage door. And if you open up that door, you can open up the door and maybe just like a mouse will run in the door. You could open up that door and maybe an ant will run in the door. You can open up that same door and maybe an elephant will squeeze in. But did you know that the action of opening that door is the same no matter what's coming through the door? Amen. And that's kind of how faith is. Once you know how to believe, once you know how it works, it's like opening up the door. And whatever you need, praise God, the door's big enough. Everybody say the door's big enough. And whatever you need to go through that door, the action of believing is the same. Amen? A mustard seed will move something as big as a mustard seed, and the same mustard seed could move a mountain, praise God. Are you getting it? You see, big miracles come by simple faith. Let's all say that together. Everybody say, big miracles come by simple faith. And we want to think when we're facing something big, when we need something big, when we desire something big, we want to think that we need more than simple faith. But I want you to know that you don't need more than simple faith for anything that you need in this life, praise God. Simple faith in Jesus, simple faith in what he provided on the cross, simple faith in the power of his name is enough for anything that you will need in life, in ministry, for victory, in any situation. Simple faith is enough, praise God. Faith is a mustard seed, is all you will ever need. You will never need more than that. And you've already used it. Amen. And the action of believing for big things is the same as the action for believing for small things or whatever it is that you need. Simple faith in Jesus is enough, praise God. Everybody say it's enough for me. And when we face something big in our minds, we always want to think that we need something bigger than just faith. We need something bigger. But you understand, it's not about the size of the faith, but it is about the size of the God who answers our faith. Amen. That's why the sister read it. She read it tonight. Mark 11:23 says, he starts that whole thing off by saying, have faith in God. Of course God can move a mountain. Amen. It's not about the size of your faith. It's about the size of the God that answers your faith. And he's big enough to handle anything. It's not per se the power of faith that moves something. Faith opens up the door to the power of God. Amen? That's all it does. Faith is just opening the door so God's power could move into a situation. Praise God. That faith functions as a facilitator to the power of God. So it's not about the size of faith any more than it's about the size of the door. Praise God. It's just about the fact that faith allows God to move into a situation. Amen. So no matter what it is, you know, and again, like I said, whenever it's something big and you watch, you study theology, you study people's reactions to things, you know, whenever it's something big, people tend to think that you need more to meet that need. You need more, you know, for example, you need everybody to pray when somebody, you know, when somebody's in a life and death situation. Man, it's going out over Facebook. It's going out an email blast. Get every Christian you know praying. You know what I'm talking about? I got a phone call one time from a friend. We were out at a grocery store, and we get a phone call. Johnson and I were shopping. We get a phone call from a friend, and she's like, pray for this child, you know, this is going on and this and that. I don't remember. It was a serious situation, but she's like, pray. We all need to pray and stuff. So Jocelyn tells me this was a pastor's wife, you know, and I'm thinking, man, it's somebody from their congregation. Let's pray. And I started praying and I got this check in my spirit. I'm just like, you know, just like, what are you doing? And I said, all right. I said, Jocelyn, text her back. Ask her who this child is. Turned out it was just something she heard about on the news or on Facebook or something. Not even believers, you know. And I'm like, what are we doing here? This is futile. But the prayer, it was this prayer, everybody pray. How many know that? Hallelujah. I want you to know something. It's good to have everybody praying, but God will just answer just your prayers. Amen. Just yours. And sometimes we think if it's a big situation, if we have more people somehow. No, because it's not about the size of the faith. It's not about the number of people praying. Amen. One person, hallelujah, could come into somebody could go to somebody else and ask. And if they will grant that one person a wish, that's enough. Does that make sense? With God, it's the same. If he answers one person's prayer, that releases the same power as if 100 people were asking for the same thing. Does that make sense to you? Amen. It's not about the size of the faith. It's not about how many people are praying. It's about the God who answers prayers. Amen. Or sometimes I see when you face big situations, like, I mean, really big situations, like in a person's body, like when we're talking about healing and miracles, you know, when there's something big going on, sometimes people tend to make things more complicated and their theology gets more complicated as the case gets more severe. For example, if somebody needs to be raised from the dead, I've heard people say, well, you need several gifts of the Spirit in manifestation. And the implication is always like a dampening of your faith that, you know, well, that's just, you need a lot for this to happen. You need a whole, you know, are you following me? Have you ever got that impression? If you want somebody raised from the dead, you need this and that. And basically, you know, God has to just restructure his whole system and come down off his throne in bodily form. And, you know, you got to get him out of bed. And, you know, he's got to come. You know, that's the impression that you get. But, you know, the person that was in the worst physical condition that Jesus ever helped was a guy by the name of Lazarus. And, you know, I always like to say, I don't know what you're facing here tonight, but I look around and I could see everybody is at least 4 days ahead of him. Amen. All right, praise God. Turn to your neighbor and say, if Jesus could help Lazarus, he could help you. Praise God. Amen. That ought to be an encouragement to you, man. That's not just a funny preaching story, praise God. You might just hold on to that. It's never too late. Amen. If you've got breath in your lungs, it's not too late for you. But you know, that was a big situation that needed to be turned around. I mean, seriously, the guy had been in the grave for 4 days. You know, he already stank. Don't open up the tomb, they're saying. It was a serious situation. What does it take to turn around a big situation like that? What does it take to raise somebody from the dead who's already been gone for a few days? You know, you think, oh, that takes a special dispensation from God. You know, that's the impression that it's getting, because it's harder than what we usually, you know, would think of or whatever we normally would believe for. But Jesus gave the key when he stood there in that atmosphere at the tomb. He said, did I not tell you that if you believed, everybody say believe. Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? How many of you want to see the glory of God on that level? Hallelujah. I know I do. The Bible says that the key is that you don't need some special outpouring. You don't need some special revival. You don't need a special move of the Spirit. All you need to do is believe. And if you believe, you will see the glory of God. Amen. Jesus was talking in terms of simple faith. Basically, what he was saying is simple faith produces even this kind of situation, praise God. Simple faith puts action to this kind of thing. Amen? Hallelujah. That means to me the same faith, hallelujah, same faith that'll bless your food will raise the dead. Hallelujah. Amen? Same faith that'll bless your food will raise the dead. Because it's not about the size of the faith. It's not about the prayer or how many people are praying. It's the God that answers the prayer. And if you believe that the God who answers your prayer will bless your food, I want you to know that's the same exact God who raises the dead, praise God. And so we do the math in our head in natural thinking, and we think it needs more prayer, and we think it needs a special move of God. That's based on the course of this world, and that's based on human reasoning. That's not based on who God is and what he can do, amen. Amen. If you can go to God and say, God, please bless this food, and he says yes, why would it be any different to go to God and say, God, please raise this person from the dead? Same God says yes, it's just as easy for him to bless the food as it is for him to raise the dead, praise God. Amen. Simple faith produces big miracles. Everybody say it. Simple faith produces big miracles. You know, Jairus is another one. Jairus comes to Jesus. He says, my daughter, she's at home, she's sick. Come and lay your hands on her and she'll live. Jesus says, I'll come and I'll heal her. They start going to the house on the way. They encounter the woman with the issue of blood. Power goes out of Jesus, goes into her body. She's made whole of her plague. Jesus tells her, your faith has made you whole. Then they continue on, and then the servants come from Jairus' house. Don't trouble the master anymore. Now she's not sick, but she's dead. Situation has gone from bad to worse. Now this is a situation where they need somebody raised from the dead. Jesus once again gives us the key to the situation. He doesn't say, Jairus, pray and fast for 10 days. He doesn't say, Jairus, you better get in the word. He doesn't say, Jairus, get everybody you know to pray right now. Amen. Are you with me? He didn't say any of that. He doesn't say, okay, Jairus, it would have been enough when she was just sick for me to go lay my hands on her. But now we need a special miracle. Now we need several gifts of the Spirit in manifestation. No, Jesus simply told Jairus, do not fear, only believe. Everybody say, only believe. Apparently, simple faith was enough to turn around that horrible situation, because it wasn't about the faith, but it was about the God who answers the faith. Amen. And simple believing would open up the door for the God who created the heavens and the earth to come into that situation and do what needed to be done. Praise God. I don't know for certain. Maybe you do need every gift of the Spirit to raise somebody from the dead. Maybe you do need some kind of special manifestation. I don't know exactly what you need, but I do know that whatever you need will be activated by faith in the name of Jesus. Amen. Whatever you need is put into action by simple faith. Does that make sense? Now, I don't say this. you know, just to whatever, have material, because I know that there are people probably here tonight that are in serious situations. And I know that natural situations can sometimes be intimidating. Like she said, mountains of debt, mountains of sickness and disease, mountains of fear. And sometimes they could seem so big that in your mind, you will think just believing, just faith, just words. How could that possibly turn around this situation? But that's when you can take, you know, your comfort in this, that the mustard seed is enough. All you have to do is believe. And that believing action is the same. You could think the smallest victory that you've ever had in faith is the same action that produces the biggest victory that you'll ever need. Amen. You know, we come up with terms like even creative miracles, we say. I've been saying this lately. I've been saying, get out your Strong's Concordance or just, you know, do a nice Google search and try to find those words together anywhere in the Bible. Creative miracle. It's nowhere. Not Old Testament, not New Testament, not Greek, not Hebrew. It had to come from somewhere else. Amen. How did it come? It came from some situation where somebody needed something, maybe something to be created in a situation. And they said, it can't be as easy as just prayer and believing God. There must be some special category we need to meet this need. Amen. And they've said, let's create one. Let's call it a creative miracle. And then let's give the implication, this is what the devil would say anyways, that God is somehow more reluctant to perform the creative miracle than just the regular one. Amen. It's quiet in here. Are the wheels turning? Amen. Is this making sense to you, though? Let me read something about Jesus. Let's turn to the book of John, chapter 1. Everybody say, this is helping me. Glory, glory, glory. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend him. The Bible says that in the beginning, okay, that's the same in the beginning as in Genesis, in the beginning, right? In the beginning, there was Jesus, and all things were created by him, and all things were created through him. That's what it's saying in the beginning of John here. In the beginning, there was Jesus. All things, nothing was created except for through Jesus. So Jesus is a creator. Amen. Everybody say, Jesus is the creator. And Jesus said in John 14:12, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. Does Jesus create things? Did he ever stop? The Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is he a creator today? Do you need something created? I've got good news for you. Jesus is still in the creating business. Amen. Amen. Everybody say, Jesus is still the creator. And simple faith will activate even creation. Praise God. How many of you believe it? You know, Lazarus, he needed some things created. I mean, on a cellular level, there was like, you know, as far as like dead brain cells, that happens in just a few minutes, let alone a few days. And everything, he needed some creation to take place. Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Why am I saying this? Not just for trivial matters, because there's people who maybe they think, I need new cartilage in my knee. I need a new eardrum. I need a new valve in my heart. And then and the idea is, oh man, but you need, it's been said and it's been preached. You need a creative miracle. All you need is Jesus. Amen. And Jesus is able to do whatever you need, and he's able to create what needs created. Praise God, he's able to cause things to dissolve that shouldn't be there, make them disappear. Amen. That's no more miraculous than creating. If it's not supposed to be there, he could take it away. If it needs to be there, he could put it there. Praise God. Amen. I'm telling you, I've seen some things. I don't even know how it happened. I didn't even know what needed to take place. We were in Shepherdsville, Kentucky, and there was some of the guys went there, but this was the first time before you guys were there. I'm there. A woman came forward who 4 years before the service, she had busted up her ankle real bad in a car accident. So she had pins and she had plates in her ankle that made it impossible for her to stand on her toes. She couldn't run. I mean, there's plates and there's pins and there's apparatus. Amen. We prayed for in the name of Jesus, and instantly, first she's standing on her toes and then she starts running. Two things that were impossible for her. Not because of arthritis, not because of stiffness or swelling, because she had metal plates in her ankle. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know what happened. I don't know if God turned him to rubber. I don't know if he made him disappear. I don't know what happened. I did not pause and pray a special prayer. I did not call Susie and Matt and say, get everybody at Good News Church to believe with me. All I said was, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Glory to God. And the name of Jesus is enough because Jesus is enough. And whatever needed to happen, I still don't know what happened, but I know it did happen. And I know she ran around that church. And the next night, the rows were filled with her Facebook friends because of the miracle that God did in her ankle. Praise God. Amen. Everybody say Jesus is enough. And these doctrines, listen to me, they've come, the things that have dampened our faith, they've come from nothing more than the course of this world and human reasoning. That we've thought that certain things are harder, more difficult, harder to apprehend or lay hold of. For who? Harder for who? Why, you know, or we think that they're somehow, it's going to be more rare. These are all the things that are implied, right? When somebody's about to pray for somebody and they're like, stop, wait, this person needs a creative miracle. The implication is that this is somehow rare or we can't count on it as quickly as we would something else. Are you hearing me tonight? I want you to know something. The promises of God, the promise of by Jesus' stripes that we're healed, the promise of the chastisement that brought us peace, which means shalom, which means wholeness, which means nothing missing and nothing broken. The promise that says the chastisement that brought us peace was upon him. That promise is the same to the person that has a sore knee because they twisted it playing basketball as the person who has no legs. Amen. And I don't care if we haven't seen it. I haven't seen it. I've heard about it. I haven't seen it. But it doesn't change the fact that we haven't seen it. That doesn't mean that God's not willing to do it, praise God. Doesn't mean that he doesn't want to do it. Because the God I believe in, he looks down with compassion on the person with the sore neck as much as he does with the person who's a quadriplegic. And his compassion for them is the same. And according to my Bible, simple faith will invite the God of miracles into any situation and turn it around. Amen? Whatever you need tonight, whatever you need from God, it's easy to obtain. Amen. Hallelujah. Say it again. Say, simple faith produces big miracles. Hallelujah. We, just a few weeks ago, ministered in Erie, Pennsylvania, and I didn't even know this woman was here. It was a good-sized church, and she was sitting way in the back. I didn't even see her. Way in the back. So anyhow, she had broken her arm 4 days before the service. And it was swollen, so she could not get a cast. You know, they wouldn't put a cast on it because they wanted to wait for the swelling to go down. Then they would put a cast on it and do surgery. So she's in the service this Sunday morning. She's a believer. She's a Christian, but she did not come to be healed. You know, the Bible says they came to hear and be healed. She did not come to be healed. She came, she told me later, because she had a broken heart, you know, metaphorically speaking. And she was believing God to touch her on an emotional level and to heal her in that way. That's what she was believing for. That's what she was hoping for. She'd gone through some hard times. She didn't go to the church regularly. She came, somebody invited her, and she was just there hoping God could help her with, you know, she didn't go to any church regularly, hoping that God could help her on an emotional level. And so the whole service, she's holding up this hand in the air. I didn't see it because, like I said, she's way in the back. Because if she dropped it below her heart, it would just throb. I mean, it's that bad. She can't make a fist. She's got an ace bandage and a splint around it. It's swollen up, praise God, you know. It's all everything, all swollen up and all, the whole deal. End of the service, I pray and command in the name of Jesus. Didn't even lay hands on people, just people in their seats. Didn't take time to pray for people, lay hands on people. We just commanded in Jesus' name. And as we just prayed for people in their seats, I heard the story later. She felt a coolness start to go through that arm. I guess it was like throbbing and heat and pain. A coolness go through the arm. And then she noticed that the pain was gone. And then she could make a fist. And then she looked and the bandages had fallen loose. Hallelujah. All the, you know, the swelling went down and all the ace bandages are hanging loose. She's moving this arm around, praise God. Amen. After the service, Jocelyn interviews her and she says, I didn't even think, she's crying. I didn't even think God could do something about a broken bone. I just came in here and I didn't even imagine that. I was just hoping he could do something about my hurt emotions. Amen. I mean, you know, it's just as easy. Everybody say just as easy. It's just as easy for God to help you a little bit with your emotions as it is for Him to fix bones. It's just as easy for Him to give you new bones, praise God. Hallelujah. Well, she went back to the doctor a couple days after that. Doctor took some x-rays. She says, you don't need a cast, praise God, anymore. You don't need surgery. They looked at the x-ray. The only way they could describe it, they said, significant bone growth. Amen. I guess so. Amen. That is significant. Didn't happen over a few weeks. It happened in a second, praise God. Well, that's creation, isn't it? That's creation. It wasn't the natural healing time of bones. It was supernatural. It happened in just a moment. Praise God. As far as I didn't do anything different, I don't, you know, praise God. God didn't have to do, it's all the same to Him. It's just as easy for Him, praise God. You know, it's the same thing with amounts of money. Is it really any harder for God to get us 10 cents than it is to get us $10,000? He is God. He's able to do it. Amen. It's just the size of our faith is just the what we believe God is able to do. That's really all it is what our amount of faith is to what we believe He can do. But really, you don't need big faith. When it talks about big or small faith, it's just how much you believe God is able to do. But honestly, faith is small of a mustard seed. It moves everything and it works in every situation. Amen? I like this table. I got something to pound on all night. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Simple faith produces big miracles. Has this encouraged anybody tonight? Good, good. Amen. Because I want to just encourage you. You know, whenever I preach like this, I'm not just trying to, you know, come with a new angle or come with just some good new, oh, maybe they haven't heard this. That's never my motivation. It's always from the heart of my heart goes out to people that are in seemingly impossible situations. And I hate the devil's lies. I hate the doubt and unbelief. I hate the doctrines that try to lock people in those situations. Amen. Because there is a God for whom nothing is impossible. And there is a Jesus who conquered death, hell, and the grave. And all of the power that you will ever need can be activated in your life by the very simplest of faith that every believer has, praise God. Amen. And nobody is left out of the victory of Jesus. Now, the worst that the devil or the curse or this world can do to a human body, they're not beyond the reach of God. Amen. And bless God, I want to see all of it before I leave this earth. I want to see whatever the worst is, whatever the situation is that people say, Jesus, if you've been here 4 days ago, you could have done something, but not now. I want to see it turned around. Praise God. Hallelujah. God's compassion for the, what do you think? Has God looked at those people in those serious situations and said, man, that's a rough one. No, it's for everybody. Praise God. It's for everybody. Amen. Praise God. Just remember this. God is love. Amen. And love, it's amazing. Just the simple concept of love, it'll keep so much of your theology straight. Does God love people who are seriously deformed? Amen. Does God love people who have been just, you know, horrendously beat up by this world and the devil and whatever the course is? Yes, He does. Is He willing to move on their behalf? Yes, He is. Because of love. Amen. Have miracles ceased? No, because God still loves. Amen. Is it God's will for all to be saved? Yes, because God's a God of love. Love will keep your theology straight, praise God. Amen. Let's thank God tonight. Lord, we thank You for tonight. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank You that You're here tonight. Nothing's impossible for You. We thank You, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 Father. Whatever it is that's needed in this room, whatever it is that's needed, Father, whether it be financial, glory to God, like the sister said, whether it be a mountain of debt, whether it be a mountain of fear, You're up for the task. You're up for the task. In simple faith, simple believing, Father, releases Your power into any situation where we need it to move, praise God. Amen.